Hello and welcome back to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips, and we had just heard from His Highness Sheikh Abdulaziz Al Nuaimi. For those of you who are just joining us, you can catch that on our website on dubaieye1038.com/eye on careers. He talked about the importance of listening to who you are, to your inner voice, to not being confused by desires, money, or material possessions, not get confused with the illusions of life, but check into your higher power and really understand what your value and your uniqueness in this world is, and that live your life with absolute integrity and authenticity. That these are really the keys to unlocking your value and the way to think about your success. He said, first focus on your success and don't be dissuaded by failure. Fail and fail again until you find it. And then once you find your success, help others be successful. That's the next step for him. And then the third step is once you're helping others be successful, find success for your country, contribute to the nation where you live. And then after that, the fourth step is creating and being committed to success in the world. So, you know, the real subtext there was, you know, if you want to become bigger, think bigger. Think bigger than yourself. Think about more than just yourself. You know, he said, you know, you should, well, his last dying words from his father was, you know, you should have your mom on your head, your wife on your chest, and your country in your hands as you develop and grow. It was really a great interview. I really suggest anyone to go and go to our podcast and see it. As well, you can find him on Twitter and Facebook for those of you who didn't get a chance to ask your questions. And also on April 14th at the Canadian University of Dubai, we're having a massive leadership event with some of the biggest names in business there. There'll also be a video address from His Highness at the event. So it's going to be really great and very special. But enough about that. Let's get moving with our next guest. We have a man who is a sprawling entrepreneur, a serial entrepreneur. His businesses have gone through photography, publishing, real estate, business services, food and beverage. He is a man whose ambition knows no bounds, and he's just getting started despite the fact that he has so much success under his belt. Someone who really embodies the spirit of Dubai, the growth, the ambition. Division. His name is Sultan Harab Al Falahi. He's the Chief Executive Officer of Sultan Investments. Sultan, welcome to Eye on Careers.
Thank you, dear. Thank you for inviting me tonight and to speak with you. It was a pleasure and to speak about our career and what we did and how Dubai has been changed when we started as a kids and where we reach here right now.
Well, you said you started life as a photographer, and almost, you know, since you've started so many businesses, maybe you're not a business man, but a business artist, perhaps.
I think the photography helped me a lot in my business, especially when I started initially after photography by doing the publishing. And that gave me an idea, especially the coloring, the positioning of where I put myself and how I put the color together. And I think that played a lot of things to change my businesses.
Was that tough being a photographer? I mean, back in the day, you know, was it, you know, seen by other locals as a you know, vertible profession? I mean, there's not a lot of photographers. You're probably one of the only ones. So what is this guy doing running around with a camera?
I'll give you a joke. What happened to me when I started, it was 1988 and I was 18 years old that time. I was working with Al Bayan newspaper and they asked me to cover an event in a lady school that time, and I was wearing my normal dress, and I went to the school, and suddenly I find the principal standing in the door complaining why I'm coming. So I said, you invited us to cover the party of the National Day that day. She said, no, you go ahead. We don't want you. We don't want anybody. We are ladies here. We don't need to be covered. So I said, okay, that's fine. I went back and I told them what's happening. They said, okay. The next year, I decide to wear jeans, not the normal dress. And by chance, the same lady was stopping me from going in. She was taking me around and thinking I'm not local. So I took all my photography and said bye-bye, and that's it. So I had...
So you actually didn't... You couldn't do photography in a local dress.
Yeah, that's it. The vision before about the locals, that they cannot be a photographer. They cannot be a lot of places where it could affect them, you know, by dressing like that. The vision now has been changed. The idea has been changed, not like it was before. We used to take a photography with a camera which is weighted 15 kilogram that time, you know, and to cover events, it was so difficult. And with batteries, flashes, films, it was like going to a war, not really to have fun.
So it was a big job. So do you feel that as an Emirati that, you know, because what you're describing here is that your identity, your cultural identity was an obstacle to you being successful in your profession. Do you find now that your identity is an accelerant in business, or is it still have some obstacles with it?
I think Dubai is an international city. It's somewhere where nationality is not going to give you a plus. What will give you plus is what you do, what you deliver. That's what make you different than the others.
A true meritocracy.
Yeah.
So how did you move in? So from photography, then I guess you went into publishing, I believe?
I had a clash with the manager who was there, actually. He was a guy which they put him instead of the previous manager. And... one day we were covering an event, and that day it was a push from him against me, thinking that I'm looking for that position where, you know, I was not having any intention to be a manager or to do, I was doing it as a hobby.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, I didn't want to be a manager, I wanted to own the paper.
No, my ambition was more than that, actually. But it was a hobby for me, and that time I decided not to continue. But it was a chance for me to stop doing it. And when I went, I resigned. They asked me, why you don't stay? We will keep you, we'll promote you, we'll put you as a manager. I said, my ambition is not to stay as an employer. I want to be a businessman. That's from day one.
Do you think that's important for young people today to have a vision of where you want to go, of who you want to be, of what you want to become, that, you know, your imagination is one of the greatest tools in your toolkit to become a success?
I think God give you something which you need to find it. And you need to know what is your capacity, what is your capability. It's not bad to be a normal person, not bad to be doing any job, but you need, when you do it, you need to know what you are, what you're capable to do. You need to do the job in the right way, and you need to do it in a perfect way. And automatically, you will find yourself step by step going higher and higher, day by day. So you need to do the job which you know in a perfect way.
Focus on the job now, and success or the growth will come. But at your but you didn't do the opposite of that, because you quit the job now for a vision of a dream of a fantasy of being a businessman, which you were not at that time.
Yeah, it was a risk for me, but I was calculating that risk, and I was working hard for that risk. It was really a risk for me. I was 21 years old when I decided to stop working, and it was like a challenge for me. Even I was doing a business before that. I was doing the business when I was 18 years old, but it was like a different job. I'm doing the photography, which is insuring my, at least my pocket money and like that, and I was doing the business side, and it was like small money extra. But I think taking the risk, it was calculated, because when when I decide to stop, I was just starting my business. I find there is a chance more in the private business. We believe that 1/9 of the income worldwide comes from business or related to business. So if I'm looking to the 9 and I work hard for that 9, definitely I'll have some of it.
Right. So part of it is taking on something that you're scared of. Were you nervous when you took this huge risk?
I was not nervous that much, but it was like, when you are young, you always want to achieve something. You want to do something. You want to prove something. And if you know what you are doing, you love what you're doing, you will be able to prove it.
Right. So you had a vision of becoming this businessman early on, and you went after it. Was there any major setbacks? You started a publishing business. That must have been a huge challenge. What were the key things that set you back? And maybe you can answer that after the break. This is Sultan Harab Al-Falahi, the Chief Executive Officer of Sultan Investments, talking about how he started his first business.
Dubai Eye 103.8. Stay one step ahead.
Hello and welcome back to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips. For those of you just joining, we had His Highness Sheikh Abdulaziz Al-Nuwaimi, the Green Sheikh, a member of the Ajman royal family, on in the first segment talking about what it takes to be successful in life, in business, in your community, in your country, and in the world. Very interesting philosophies that can give you power, strength, and help you unleash that ability to create unique value. And if you missed it, you can catch it at our website, dubaieye1038.com/eyeoncareers, and click on the podcast. Just go to the dubaieye1038 website and check the podcast, and it will be there. Definitely something worth listening to. Our guest now is Mr. Sultan Harab Al-Falahi, the Chief Executive Officer of Sultan Investments. He started life as a photographer, but his business endeavors have sprawled across publishing, real estate, business services, food and beverage, and there's still more to come. There's a few more ideas lingering in his head. I can tell now some people are proclaiming him to be more of a business artist than a businessman, but I think he prefers businessman to business artist. Sultan, welcome back to Ion Careers.
Thank you, dear.
We were just picking up your story here. You quit your job. You were a photographer for Al Bayan newspaper. You quit to chase your dream of becoming a businessman.
Yes.
What was your first business?
The first business was publishing. And that time we did a company called Writer Advertising, which is still working, and it's run with my previous partner. I was responsible for the marketing and sales and follow-up, and he was responsible for the artwork. And we were both of us actually in Al Bayan newspaper. And we left. We take some of the team with us, and we decide to go. One of the things happened to us that what we do, where we go. I said, we will go big. They said, what? What do you mean? I said, let's go to Dubai Municipality and take jobs from them. They said, but Dubai Municipality is a big account. How we can go and how we can convince them? I said, we convince them with relationship, with work, what we do. So we went, we applied for the job there with them to do the job for them. Initially, they had stated to give us. And one time we said, okay, give us a chance and we'll do it. If you like it, you pay for it. And they said, okay, we will give you a chance. And suddenly they were under pressure to do a book very quickly. So I decided to do the presentation for them, and I entered to the committee. So I met them, and they said, by chance the door was open, and the guy was telling them, there is a local guy is doing a job for us, and he's doing a good job, we'd like you to meet. They said, are you sure you want us to meet that young guy who's 21 years old or whatever young guy? Can do he do this job? They said yes. So we present our book to them, and they were surprised, and from that day until today, the company is running with Dubai Municipality and doing the work.
Unbelievable. But you must have had some startup capital. I mean, or did you, like, how did you do the print? How many copies of the first book did you run? Or did you have your own printing equipment? Or, you know, how did you actually start the company?
No, we were doing the design with us. So our investment was the you know, we used to buy Apple Macintosh that time. Computers, which was very big and not like today, technology is changing a lot. But the printing was in the printing press, but our investment was mainly the artwork and all of that and printing it. And we used to, you know, the relationship was very good before and the trust was there. So we used to, you know, they used to wait for us. Our capital was very small that time and we were working very hard just to achieve our things, but we were doing it very nice and very, very good designs. Even I remember we did a magazine for Dubai International Marine Club. And it was a special size where it was not a normal size. It was A4 special size, which you feel it's between A3 and A4 if people knows about it. And to break even a newspaper or a magazine in only the second publishing, it was a success, which, you know what, I'm really proud of it that time. So they refused to allow us to print on their account, and they said, you are responsible for it, you have to finance the magazine. We said, okay, give us the right and we'll do it. And it was specialized on PowerPoint in Dubai International Marine Club. And when we become successful in it, everybody jump on that magazine and trying to take it. We were working very hard ourselves. I used to go to all the owners of agencies myself, just one after others, try with us. And we would be able, we successful in the second publishing. So second publishing, that's a great success.
And so just to go back to your municipality thing, your book there, you did it in digital, and then once they saw the digital was good, they signed off, and then they paid for the
yes.
printing and everything. So,
yes.
Okay, interesting. So how long did you run the publishing business for?
I stayed in that company for 3 years. After that, my partner took over. I started, which I feel that is my business really, is the real estate.
Right.
Yeah.
This is the city for real estate.
This is the city for real estate, actually. Majority of the locals here, they are investing in the real estate. And I think this is the channel which they are really strong since long time. The market is that time small, not big. It's very, very successful business for us.
It's the entire Middle East, really, when you look at it. It's hard to find an investment company that doesn't have a real estate exposure.
You see, there is two types. There is a real estate which they take it as an investment, and there is a real estate which is development, which is totally different, more risk. And here you have to see and to do something different. If you want to be like everybody, what they are doing, you will stay as a normal developer or a normal real estate company. But if you want to do something different, you will be seen easily.
Who do you think in the market is doing something different?
I think Majid Al Futtaim is doing different. I believe that, my opinion, that Amar could do something much better than what they are doing. Even they are doing a great job, but I think they didn't yet did all what they are capable to do. I think they have more to do.
So you, after the publishing, you got into real estate. What was your first real estate project?
It's a small project. Was in the city center, and after that we did small jobs. In 2003, we started a real estate brokerage firm. Because that time it was the real boom of Dubai starting freehold business. And I decided to go first and find what is the best business. I thought to go outside the city. I want to go to Russia. So I went to Nakhil that time. There is a general manager we're working there. And he asked me, what do you want? I said, I want the exclusivity to sell Nakhil. In Russia and CIS country. So he was laughing at me and he said...
But before you did that, have you ever been to Russia?
Yes, but it was a visit long time back.
Okay, so you had been there once.
Once, but it was not for a business. It was a long time.
Okay.
So he said, he was laughing. He said, are you crazy? They will kill you there. I said, why they will kill me? He said, they are killing everybody there and there is no business and like that. I said, what you are losing? Give me a chance. Let's see. He said, okay, you go ahead. We'll give you the agency. It was, I remember, in 2003. After 3 months, he was calling me and said, let's set a target. I said, what target? He said, you have to have a target because the demand is very big on us. I said, that's great, I said. But he said, why you choose Russia? Can you tell me? I said, Russia is a country which is near to us. Whenever the weather is great there, it's bad with us. Whenever the weather bad with them, it's great with us. And we have the beach, which they don't have. And we have the security, we have all the things needed for them. So I said, okay, go ahead. And after 3 months of that, they decide to do it themselves. After they've seen the demand, what they have from Russia.
This is a big challenge in any business, right, for a distributor.
Yes.
That your actual client actually will take you out eventually.
You see, my goal was to learn how to do it in the right way. The success, the continuity, I believe a lot in it's a God wish. And when they decide to take over the agency from me and decide, okay, let's do the work in the right way. So I start my first development that time, which is in a big scale. So I look to the map of Dubai and I say, where is the best place to do business in Dubai? Always in each city, the best place is the center of the city. You will never go wrong when you go to the center. So I decide what is the project. And by chance it was, they just announced about the Business Bay area. So I decide I will put my money there, I will take the risk, let me do my development. And I was, thanks God, very successful in it.
This is your Business Bay Gate.
Bay Gate.
Okay. Bay Gate that you started. But you're still holding the property. The property is open now, or?
Yeah, it's open now. We will be able to start leasing by end of April.
Okay, excellent.
Yeah.
April showers.
Mm-hmm.
That's excellent. So Business Bay, a prime location. I don't understand, though, because the rents are going up. I think it's the only place in the world where in a building the rent could actually go up, but it's not a full. So there's so many spaces open. Like most of the buildings, you could go and pick a spot and you can get an office. But the rents are still going up.
Office market has been suffered a lot in the crisis. And I believe that it is because of the developers, what they did to the market when they went and did those offices as a strata, which is against the standard worldwide, because the strata is for the residential, not for the offices, because the offices, most of the multinational company, they want to lease an office from one single owner, not from multi-single owners, multi-owners.
For those who aren't in the real estate, what is a strata strategy, or can you explain that to us?
Strata, when you divide the building, so like in an example, you have 4 or 5 apartments, each apartment owned by somebody else. So this usually will be on the residential. But when you go to the offices, the multinational company, like in one single floor, it have to be one owner. But the mistake, I think, what they did, the developers, they went and divide those floors to small offices so they can make more markup profit. And without looking to the long run, and the strategy, they went and divided. And that's now majority of the offices available, which is not been able to lease, is the strata one. And they are not really making that much money compared to the single owner buildings, which they are making good money out of it.
Interesting. Interesting. What's your take on the Business Bay or the office market in UAE? Are we going to see the markets kind of stable? Will they come down a bit? Are they going to go up?
I think it, you know, Dubai now become like different market in one market. Like you cannot compare Business Bay with let's say Emirates Hills or Emirates Hills with the Arabian Ranches, or every market itself, it have its own. But if you talk about offices market, I think certain area of market will continue rising up. I think there is more demand on offices in the coming 5 years.
So it's a good market to be in. And then you also launched a food and beverage line at the same time? Or?
Yes, we started Providor, which is it's a market actually where you can have retail, you can have a bakery, you can have food and beverage, all things under one roof.
This is Sultan Harib Al-Falahi, the Chief Executive Officer of Sultan Investments, sharing his insights to starting and running a business in the United Arab Emirates. Coming up, we'll have more of his lessons learned on the road to the top, so stay with us.
Dubai Eye 103.8, keeping you up to date with what matters in the UAE. Stay one step ahead.
Hello and welcome back to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips, and we are here with Sultan Harib Al-Falahi, the Chief Executive Officer of Sultan Investments. Sultan, welcome back to Eye on Careers.
Thank you.
For anybody who has a question for Sultan, you can SMS us at 4001, or you can go to the Dubai Eye 103.8.com website and download the mobile app and send us a message directly. Sultan, what has been the biggest challenge you've ever faced?
I think the biggest challenge when I decide not to focus them, to focus on the business, what I was doing, I decide to expand that time. I was young. I was very successful in the publishing that time. So I decide to go much bigger without knowing what's the meaning of expanding that time. It was a learning curve for me. So I decide to do ship chandling, rent-a-cars, different activities without focusing. And that's made me heavily lost that time. It was like a big, big loss for me. I was like that time, it was in 92, 93, with a big loss of $1.5 million. And I don't know what to do with it.
You lost $1.5 million?
That time.
What's ship chandling? What is that?
Ship chandling is supplying the ship for all over the needs of food, spare part, and everything. And I was doing good, actually, but it was, tough competition, and so I lost a lot of money.
How did you lose money, though? It seems like, you know, these tons of ships here.
It's tons of ships, but sometimes, you know, you lose in terms of supply, different quality, which is rejected, a lot of things.
So the competition just undercut you?
Yeah, yeah.
And you couldn't compete with that?
Yeah, and I decided to sell some of the asset I have. I was ashamed to tell anybody that I'm losing. So I was proud, and I decided to face it. And I don't want to tell anybody about it. And I don't go back in it and say, finish the company's loss, I liquidate the company or something like that. So I decide not to face it and to give everybody their money and to keep my reputation and good faith.
But in this country, you can end up in jail if you owe money.
No, if you give a checks, yes, yeah. That's a criminal. But if you lose money for the creditor, either you liquidate the company and the creditor go and find whatever left from the company. But unfortunately, there is nothing they can find. So it will end up with me totally different.
But you gave checks?
No, after that. After that. After
You didn't have to. You did it as good faith.
I give it in a good faith, and I asked them, I don't have the money. I will give you a checks. You have to wait for me. I don't know when I will pay it. It could take me 1 year or could take me more than that. If you are accepting, I will go ahead with you and give you. All of them immediately accept because they never seen somebody coming and paying them instead of running away from them.
Right, just writing it off. Or you know what you do is claim bankruptcy and halas.
Liquidation.
You can't do anything.
Yeah. In Dubai, there is no bankruptcy, unfortunately, but there is a liquidation, which is liquidating the company itself.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So what was your big lessons learned from that one?
I think the lesson I learned, actually, it was from a friend of mine, actually, who teach me when we were together in Al Bayan newspaper. That guy now, he's the head of chief of Dubai, Mr. Dhan Shaheen. He told me that time, whenever you have a
problem... He's still at the Bayan newspaper?
Yeah, he's the head of Al Bayan newspaper now.
Ah, okay.
He was telling me that whenever you have a problem, you have to face it. So first thing I thought about it was his word, you know, so I decided to face the things. I never go back of it. And I learned heavily from that advice.
Lots of times you make it out bigger in your mind than it actually is. That, you know, actually facing it and taking the truthful road is the easiest one. But yes. In your mind, you think it's the toughest one.
No, I think nothing is tough as long as you will face it. Initially, it will be a problem for you. But I think if you face it, you will relax and other people, they will relax and they will take you serious. But you have to be serious with them and deliver what you promise. You never promise them something which you cannot deliver. Always promise them what you can deliver. That's very important in business.
When you look at one of the lessons there, I don't know if it is, but, you know, is it, should we not diversify so gross, so far? I mean, should we really be focused on what our core competency is in terms of what's the real value, where you really have an edge in the market? That's where you should focus.
I think business, you have to focus today. Business is very tough competition today. You cannot do everything as you used to be before. So you have to focus in core business what you have. And it have to be with the same subject. So if you will expand, you expand with the same business what you have. You enhance that business. You try to do something related to it.
And so if you diversify within to try to take more of the value chain.
Yes.
So if you're making plastic cups, maybe then get a plastic factory or go into petrochemicals or so on.
I give you example. We are in the real estate business. Our business is related to the real estate, in my opinion. Like an example, we have a company which do a business lounges, which is business centers and like that. It's like enhancing the real estate what you have. So instead of you renting it at 100, you rent it with 150, but you add a business to it. But in the end, it is in the same line what you are having. It's servicing your product. It's servicing your real estate. The hospitality, as example, we work in two divisions, the hospitality and the real estate. The hospitality, it's enhanced value of the real estate what you have. So it's a service, it's a business, but it's in the end comes back to a real estate.
Mm-hmm. This also, I think, transcends into people's career, you know, where a lot of people, they feel like things aren't working out for them or they get burned out in what's called, you know, the grind of daily life, and they feel things aren't working. So they switch from, you know, I'm in real estate and I'm going to go into the automotive sector. Then I'm going to try banking. And they have at the end of 10 years, a smorgasbord of different industries. Whereas, you know, where you look on the macro level, running your business, focus in your value chain. On the micro level, should the executive as well say, look, I'm going to focus within my industry. If I want to change, I'll change functions, but I'm not going to lose my industry focus. Would that be a good idea, or are you against that?
No, I think I'm against it because I already burned my finger heavily in it when I was young. And I think whenever you do a business, you have to do it in the same core business what you have. You can, you know, little bit changing it, but you cannot change it from the main core business what you have.
So executives should stay focused in an industry as well.
Yeah, that's
I mean, if you're going to hire someone, you have a chance of hiring someone who's been 20 years in real estate, has done all these different things in real estate, knows the industry inside out, or someone who has five years in four different industries. You're going to go with the guy who has 20 years in real estate.
I prefer the 21.
Yes.
20.
Yes.
The experience is very important, in my opinion. But I don't mind employing a young guy with 5 years experience, but in the same field. Mm-hmm. Sometimes young people, I believe in young people, they can do a lot of things for you, especially with the changes happening in the technology and the know-how. Young people, it's, I think, the main force for the future. If you don't employ young people, you cannot grow. That's my opinion.
Mm-hmm. So you have a huge value on youth.
Yes.
They somehow seem like they're getting smarter
They are very smart now. You know, now the, with the fast movement of technology, they are the only one who can learn quickly.
Right. You feel if you go to JITEX or these trade shows, you almost feel like you're obsolete as a human when you look at some of the things that these people are doing. It's amazing, really. So what are your other business strategies? You know, are there, do you have any North Stars or kind of mantras that, that kind of drive you through or that you use for direction in your darkest moments?
No, I think I believe in God, that he, all of what we did is, thanks God, is a, it's a gift from God. It's not that we can do anything without his wish or his kindness for us. All what success we had is from God, not from us. We work hard. We should work, actually. I believe that you have a timeline. You have a speed and you have a timeline. So like an example, you, if you want to run from here to, let's say, Jumeirah, if you run...
I wouldn't do that.
You do it. It's better. You can do a lot of things.
You can lose weight. But let's say hypothetically,
yeah.
I was...
So if you run in 10 kilometers, you will finish in certain period of time. But if you run in 20, you can finish quicker. So what I mean is, today you have 8 hours working a day. If you want to go quicker, you have to work more than 8 hours. If you work below 8 hours, you will reach, but you will reach very late. Maybe you will not reach, but you will reach late. So the most important thing is to work hard in your working and give your working all the things you can do.
How many hours do you work a day?
Now it's around 12 hours. Before I used to work, I think, 16 also.
Is that the bedrock of success, hard work?
Hard work. Without hard work, you cannot succeed.
This is Sultan Harab Al-Falahi, the Chief Executive Officer of Sultan Investments. Coming up, he's going to tell us what he looks for when he's hiring.
Dubai Eye 103.8, award-winning news, business, sport, and lifestyle coverage. Stay one step ahead.
Hello and welcome back to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips, and we are here with Sultan Harab Al-Falahi, the Chief Executive Officer of Sultan Investment. Sultan, welcome back to Eye on Careers.
Welcome back to you.
It's great to have you here and to really listen. You're a self-made man. For those of us, for those of you just joining, Sultan was working as a photographer in Al Bayan newspaper and decided to take the jump, to take the plunge and become an entrepreneur, started a publishing business. And one of his first clients was Dubai Municipality, a huge project making a book. And it's, you know, I think we're not, you remind me of that quote by Khalil Gibran, the poet, who says, well, you know, we're not limited by our abilities, but by our vision. And I think your partners in that business didn't believe your vision, that you could win Dubai Municipality as a client.
Yeah.
And so Sultan went on to start a ship channeling business, which actually went bust. And but he paid his dues and paid all his creditors back. And then he got into the real estate business and hasn't looked back. He also has a winning Italian food and beverage concept that is in a Sunshine Mall called Provador.
Provador is international food with the artisan touch.
Very excellent food. I actually had a taste of it myself, and it is first class all the way. Of course, you have other concepts. But so, you know, you've kind of, you're tried, tested, and true what it takes to make it. But what do you look for when you're hiring people to join the charge and your team?
Mainly, it's, I think, the biggest problem challenge we have is to find the right people in this market, and also the changing of the people. So like an example, everybody jump on the others to take them from you. So I think the biggest challenge is to find the honest and trustful, and at the same time to have a relationship with them, to be like a friendship, so you don't lose them in the long run.
Someone who has who wants to take the challenge, but at the same time has the friendship.
Yes.
So that's different. I mean, not, I think you're the first person on my show to say that.
Yeah, I think the biggest problem, as I said to you, is most of the people here, they come in a short period of time. They want to shift from company to company. Whoever pay them better salary, they go. But to keep them with you, you have to be let them feel that they are more stable. I think very important for them to feel their stability, friendship. That's the key for continuing, I think.
But I think if, you know, because I kind of feel like you're a workaholic a bit, like you work a lot. Mm-hmm. And if you're a workaholic, then the people you work with are the only friends you have. Because you know what I mean? So it's good that you have that friendship. I'm also working all the time. So, you know, the people you work with are generally the only people I really see. I don't know why I confess it on the radio. It's really depressing. But anyway, so you look for someone that, you know, that you can get along with for 12 hours, basically, which is interesting. A lot of people, you know, personality plays a big role here, and you know, I've talked to a lot of people who said they would take loyalty over talent.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you have a very talented person who's not loyal to you, he would not only destroy your business, maybe he ends up taking it from you.
Taking it is something which is, I will be happy to see somebody taking my business actually from me if they're working with me. You know, you will be proud to tell everybody that he was working and he you give it to him. So it's good to see somebody is having that ambition to grow and to continue. That's something good, actually. I don't see it bad. But I think the key behind it is that in the end, what we do is always a faith of God. You know, whatever God wants to give us, he will give us. And whatever he will give the other, he will give the others. No one will take the things what God decided from the others. So we should always work together, love the job what we do, do it in the right way, share the things, share the information, share the things what you have with the others. Because whatever you learn, you were not knowing it. So you should share it with the people. Whenever they will feel that you give them, they will give you more.
Is that why, you know, you feel so detached from your money that you can give it away so freely and give so much to charity, because you feel it's really God's money? It's not yours.
Yeah, God give you the money and he's watching you where you'll spend it. If you spend it right, he will give you more, actually.
So what are some of the charity projects that you're involved in?
Myself, I'm the trustee of my family trust. We have a family trust, which I'm the trustee of it. And the same time, I'm planning to do another trust, which is going to be something which we are trying to find a location now. We are talking with Dubai Municipality, with other developers, to create community clubs. Because in Dubai, we have a very big problem. You don't know where you go and how you socialize and what you do. Especially in the locals, our community, I can say that. We lost the majlis, which used to be the main socializing for the families before. So that family did not adapt with the growth of Dubai. So the majlis now stays only old people in it. Young people do not go to the majlis.
They go to Armani Cafe in Dubai Mall.
Yeah, but the Armani Cafe is, you cannot socialize there. You do something else there. You know, you drink a coffee and watch the things what's happening, and that's it. But you don't learn from it. You don't learn from the old people which they are living there. Myself, I used to go and sit with the old people after the coming from the job until the night and learn how they do their business, what they were doing. So, for example, one of the, I cannot say his name because he was, you know, telling me how he starts smuggling gold, you know, and how the things happened, you know. So you learn a lot of things from the people. Sometimes bad things can teach you good things.
Right. I mean, it doesn't matter what business you're running. I think you still have customers, you still have cash flow, you still have risk management. Would be there, but do you think this is one of the major threats that the Majlis is dying out? So we don't have that knowledge transfer between the wise and the energetic?
I think there is a big gap. It's not only the wise man, it's actually the children also. The children, when they see somebody like wise, it's like something for them that they can build their future in. They can make him as a leader for them. They can teach like a coach for them. You know, that kind of things is not anymore right now.
And do you think, you know, and the media is really taking place of that, you know, well, we have different venues, you know, you also have pop culture, which is replacing the messaging, you know, the idols, the leaders, you know, they starting to see them on much music or whatever other venue. Do you think then there's an onus on the Arab world to create positive media content, leadership content about successful Arabs in business, successful Arabs in academia, successful intellectual Arabs?
I think the media always will, most of the time, will have a limitation in transferring the message to the people. You need to socialize. You need to listen to the people. Because whatever you can learn from them directly, sometimes they cannot say it in the official world.
So you need the face-to-face time,
yes.
Intergenerational interaction, which is dying.
Yeah. Dying.
What is your final piece of advice to anybody out there who wants to be more successful in their life?
I think I can talk about the business as example. Today, if you want to do a business, you have something to do, definitely. Either in a business or in your work, and you have to give all what you can. Love the things what you do. And by doing that, you will be able to succeed. Doesn't matter what you are going to do. The small thing, whatever you want to do, you have to do it right, and you have to do it with the love.
Sultan, thank you so much for taking the time to share your life story with us and your lessons learned. And I think you had the courage to describe some of your failures, which very few people do. You know, I have a huge respect for people, because that's the only way that people learn. And I'm sure you've inspired some people tonight. I want to thank you for taking time to share your story with us.
Thank you for giving us the time, and have a good night.
Hopefully we can have you on again sometime. That was Sultan Harab Al-Falahi, the Chief Executive Officer of Sultan Investments. You can also take a look at some of his business endeavors at Providor in the Sunshine Mall on Beach Road. I can attest that it's excellent food, and it's an interesting concept with a grocery, high-end grocery Italian items in there as well that you can buy. But that's it for this episode of Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips, hoping the rest of your life is the best of your life.